Great, great job. Take your Bibles, please. Join with me to the book of Psalms. Found in the middle of your Bible, Psalms, if you would please, 137. Psalms 137, if you would please. Last Sunday morning, Brother Dan stomped all over this message. I told him that, and his reply was, first come, first serve. Look at him. He doesn't even care. No, not even denying it. Nor can I use, like Brother Isaac Day here, the fact that I learned this from Brother Lee Davis, who taught the book of Acts. So I'm on my own here, okay? Psalm 137, if you would please. You know, this time of the year, and especially this week, even tonight, you're going to have people that will say, Happy Thanksgiving. Hope you have a great time. Happy Thanksgiving. But there are some people who, down deep inside, secretly, privately, mentally, emotionally, are going to say, I don't think so. I don't think so. For some in the church family, this Thanksgiving is going to be missing someone. We've had some of our church who've had lost loved ones. There'll be an empty chair. There'll be somebody absent that normally takes their place around the table. Also, for some, finances, family issues, problems, grown children moved away, inflation, a whole host of things have just surrounded so many of God's people, and where this may not be a happy Thanksgiving. They may say, I just don't feel like having one. Not just yet. Being thankful and praising God is not always easy to do. For some, having faith in the Lord and hallelujahs and shouting praise and so on is not going to be first on their minds this Thanksgiving. They can feel awkward in church. They can feel out of place, like they really don't belong. People around them are smiling, shaking hands, and greeting each other, and they just don't feel like doing so. For them, Thanksgiving is not something they're willing to do as of yet. Same could be said for the children of Israel. In Psalm 137, we're looking at verse number 1. It says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, and for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, that they wasted us, required us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Children of Israel at this point in time have been captured by King Nebuchadnezzar, been held away and gone away. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to take, as you well know, if you've read the book of Daniel, he wanted the best. He wanted the brightest. He wanted the most intelligent. And he took them to be a part of his kingdom. And now word had come back, sadly, that Jerusalem had been devastated. The walls and gates had been burned. Temple had been destroyed. And there was nothing left for them to go back home to, even if they could. How can we sing the songs of Zion? Everything that we know, everything that we're familiar with, is all gone. There's no such thing for them of a happy Thanksgiving. And we find here that utter disbelief came upon them. Even their captors, in a mocking way, look at it once again in verse number 3. And there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. It was like rubbing salt into the wounds, mocking them, making fun of them, saying, okay, now where's your God? Sing, come on, sing. There was nothing to sing about, and the captors knew it. Just kind of rubbing their nose in it, making sure they realized what was going on. They could not. Sing unto the Lord, they could not. That is our message when giving thanks seems to be tough to do. Father, I pray that you'll bless now. And there may be those that way here tonight. There may be those who are not looking forward to their family gathering. There's already been issues. There's already been situations going on. Maybe a loss in their family, a loved one that will not be there. Whatever the case may be, I pray that, Father, that you will bless and fill their heart with love and peace and your grace and mercy and all that you can to help them realize there are things that they can be thankful for, even in a time when it seems to be tough to be thankful. Bless now, we pray, that this word of encouragement might help take care of their needs and their life. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. God's word has much to say about what to do when times are tough to be thankful. Number one, be thankful. Praising God is not about where you are, but it's about his presence, where God is all the time. Nobody can make you be thankful. Nobody can make you sing. Nobody can make you praise God when you don't feel like it. You may be, and there are those here today that may, like the children of Israel, sitting by the shores of Shebar, there in Babylon, feel like crying. You know, sometimes we go by people who are having a very difficult time. We shake their hand, we greet them, but maybe they don't greet right back. And maybe there are people who feel weepy. They feel like crying. I can't think of a safer place to cry than in God's house, can you? I can't think of a safer place to be among God's people who are capable of helping them, being with them, and encouraging them. It should be a safe place to be able to cry. Praising God's not on their lips. We even find here that Jesus wept among his followers there in Lazarus' tomb, raising him from the dead. Israel was in a foreign land, away from Zion, but not away from God's presence. Although that's what they told themselves. Although that's what they convinced themselves. We're gone. We're far away. We cannot be there in our homeland. So therefore, God must have left us. No, God never left them, and God never leaves us, no matter what situation we find ourselves in. God is always present. For Israel's presence was fixed on a solid place, a solitary place, a stationary place, the temple. And when they got word that the temple had been destroyed, we can't worship, we can't honor, we can't do anything. Our temple is gone. But they forgot God is with them even in Babylon. I don't care where you are in your life. It's not about where you are, it's about where God is. He's always present. He's always around. He's always available. No matter whether you're in the mountaintop or in the valley, he's always there. And yet we get focused perhaps on where, and we convince ourselves of where God is not. For Israel, they had to learn this particular lesson. God is a tabernacle God. He made the tabernacle even for his people wandering in the wilderness. It wasn't a stationary place. It was a tent-like structure that was put up. It was taken down as they moved on. They took it up. They took it down, moved on. So God is a tabernacle God. He's always, always going to be with you, no matter where you go, no matter where you are. He's a tabernacle God. He's not going to depart from you, nor will he ever leave you. Many times we operate, I'm afraid, on our feelings. And feelings are there, and they're important. God made them. But sometimes we operate first on our feelings rather than biblical facts with faith. There are those three F's you need to remember. Facts, faith, feelings. Sometimes we put the feelings first. That's how we gauge our life. That's how we live our life. I just don't feel like going to church. I just don't feel like reading my Bible. I just don't feel like praying. I just don't feel like witnessing. I don't feel. Forget your feelings. Go by biblical facts. What does God's word tell us? What does the word of God have us to know? Put those facts there first. Add faith to it, and your feelings somewhere will catch up. Facts, faith, feelings. God is a daily tabernacle. Joshua 1, verse number 9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong, be of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, he is with thee, he is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. That is the tabernacle God we serve. I don't care where you are in your life, he's always going to be there. He's always present with you. He's always around, no matter what dark days you may be going through. It's easy to praise God when things are going great. But obviously, to acknowledge his presence during the times of when I'm in a strange land, I'm in foreign country, I've never been there before, the script has not been written as to what I'm supposed to do, I just don't know what to do. God is there with you to direct you what to do. We know the 23rd Psalm, that he will indeed guide us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Just his presence is there. Understand, yield, talk to him. Since his presence is always there, then we know that we can come to him. Psalm 100, verse 2 and 4. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, unto his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Since he is always present with us, we can come to his presence. We can come to him. He makes himself available. He's there. He's around us. And yet we can always come to him and enter his courts with praise. Come before him with thanksgiving. Even though things are bleak, even though things are dark, we can always come to him because he's always present. Come before him. Secondly, being thankful and praising him during these dark times is his will. It is. It is his will. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 18, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Concerning you. There's something about this that God knows that perhaps we don't yet quite take in. There's something about knowing that the will of God is in everything give thanks. It's the will of God concerning us. There's something about doing that that will help us, be a blessing to us, encourage us, even when we don't feel like it. How do you ever get to feel, give thanks, be praised him in a strange land? Because God is to be praised whether things are good or bad, whatever the things might be. He is to be praised because God is God. It's not about the place. It's not about good. It's not about bad. It's not about things in your life. It's about him. Make it all about him. He's to be praised. Don't look at things. Don't look at circumstances. Don't look at situations. Look at him. He's to be praised no matter what. No matter what. That is what he is all about. Isaiah 43, verse 7. But even every one that calleth by my name, for I have created him for my glory. Did you get that? I have created him. He's created us for his glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. We have been made for the glory and honor of God, not for our glory, not for ourselves. Therefore, if we have been made by his glory and for his glory, then we're not our own. We had a wonderful song that had been sung last Sunday based on Galatians 2:20. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in this flesh, I give by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Remember, it's not I that live, but Christ lives in me. I don't live, but Christ lives in me. So it's not about me, it's all about Christ and living in me. Therefore, we find that it's all about praising his name. That is his will. Giving thanks, that is his will. So it's not about what happens to me. It's not about my circumstances. It's not about good or bad or the things that hit me or don't hit me. It's about him. It's always been about him. And it always should be in our Christian life. We find here in Psalms 100, verse number 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Do you know what shepherds do? Shepherds go throughout the field and they hunt and down and they search the water. They search the pasture land, making sure that before their sheep go there, it's safe for them to do so. There may be times when the water looks good to the sheep and his eyes, but it's not good. It's poisoned because the shepherd already knows that and he'll direct them away. I don't understand, shepherd. Why are you taking me away from this water? I'm thirsty. I need thirst. I need water. I need to drink. Get away. It's not good for you. He may not let us know ahead of time, but it's for our own good. There may be pasture land. They have loco weed or what's called Jimson weed. And it may not be good for us. Obviously, it can be very deadly to the sheep. And yet, the sheep are hungry, and they want to eat. But the shepherd says, no, no, guides them away with the staff and guides them away with the rod. And no, can't go there. And the sheep have no idea why. There are times God will not tell us why certain things are going on in our life. But that's where we have to trust him. That's where we have to believe him, that he's got my interest at heart. He's got my well-being at heart. And even though I don't understand why, and even though I don't understand all the mechanics of it all, I do know this. He is my shepherd, and I should believe him, and I should praise him, even if I don't understand. That is how to be thankful when times are tough. Giving thanks and praise, even when we don't feel like it, can be for our own well-being. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Because God knows our bodies. He knows our minds. He knows our hearts. He knows our psychic. He knows all about what's good for us. And we are told that it can be uplifting. We know it. Listen, once again, Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, said this in Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." It's good for us to think on these things. It's good for us to honor him and praise him, even though we don't know why things are going on in our life. Think on these things. Think on these things. That's the challenge. Dwell on the good. Dwell on those things that are praiseworthy. Dwell on those things that he has surrounded us with. Dwell on them, and you'll find, to the benefit of yourself. We have it in our songbooks. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Once you start praising God and honoring him when you don't feel like it, once you start thanking him for all that he has done, even when you don't feel like it, you'll find yourself feeling better, somehow uplifted, somehow much, much better in your life. And you don't understand how or why, but it's well-being for your soul, well-being for your life. And God knows it. That's why it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. And everything, give thanks. Even when you don't feel like it, give thanks. It's amazing how a person's life can change when they start giving thanks. And then others will wonder, now, wait a minute, what's going on? Didn't you suffer a loss in your family recently? Didn't you have a financial reversal in your family recently? Didn't your kids leave you recently? How can and why can't you be so happy? Or why can you be so positive and so joyful in these troublesome times? We're told in the scripture, always be willing to give an answer to those who ask of the joy that's in you. Why do you have joy during this time? Because I tried to thank God in everything, because that's God's will concerning me. In other words, it's not about how you feel. It's by biblical facts. And add your faith to it. Trust the Lord that his word is true. Trust the Lord that he knows what he's talking about. Trust the Lord that believe what he says and act upon it by faith. And then see if your feelings don't take a reversal from being down and despondent to being uplifted and encouraged in your life. And then thirdly, being thankful and praising him is all about his grace and mercy. The book of Psalms was Israel's songbook. It was filled with the praises of God all the way through. But as we look at Psalm 137, and we wonder why it's even there at all. Lord, did you make a mistake putting this in here? I thought this was supposed to be a book filled with praise and honor and uplifting. But I'm reading something about the children of Israel who are standing by the banks of Shebar, and they're weeping, and their willows, their instruments are put up in the willow trees, their songs, instruments singing. They are not doing that anymore, and they are mocked by their captors. They sing unto your God. See where he is right now. It doesn't sound too encouraging at this point. Well, true. It's not the way you would begin a hymnal by putting it in the beginning, a hymnal of praise, and that would cause people to want to sing and worship. That's true. But it is put where it's put by design, on a purpose, and by reason. Scan over for a minute and look at Psalm 140. Psalm 140. Psalms, for me personally, is one of the best books for our lives. It goes through the entire range of emotions, the goodness, the sadness, the sorrow, the good times, the bad times. It gives every emotion, gives everything that you and I will ever go through here in the book of Psalms, because David has been through it. But in Psalm 140, look if you would please. It says in verse number 1, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man, preserve from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in thine heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent's adder. Poison is under their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who hath purposed to overthrow my goings. Wow, that doesn't sound too uplifting. It's supposed to be a song of praise, but also a song of reality. It does happen. Go, if you would, please, to Psalm 141. Lord, I cry unto thee. Here again, crying is good. Make haste unto me. Give ear to my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense and lifting up my hands in the evening sacrifice. I cry before thee, Lord. I'm crying out. My heart is breaking. I'm in despair. I'm in agony. How do you give thanks? How do you praise God when this is going on? Look at Psalm 142, if you would please. Verse number 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path, and the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would have known me. Refuge failed me. No man careth for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from the persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. And righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Over and over and over again, the psalmist is saying, Lord, I'm hurting, I'm crying, I'm in anguish. Do understand, please, what I'm going through. I really like Psalm 142 because it tells us in verse number 2, I poured out my complaint before him. Have you ever been honest with God and complained? Have you ever told God what you did not like? Have you ever been honest with God and been honest with yourself and say, God, I just don't understand what's going on. It's not written down here. It's not what I thought should be happening in my life. It's not taking place as I thought. I got saved and born again on my way to heaven, and I thought everything would be okay, but nothing is okay. I've got family members that don't care much for my Christianity. And they don't care much for my active church going. Always want to know why you have church so many times. Yeah. I, Lord, let me complain to you. Let me pour out my heart to you. Let me let you know what's going on in my life. It is okay to complain before the Lord. Who else you going to complain to, right? You don't want to complain before church members, because they're going to get mad and angry at you, right? You don't want to complain to your members of your family, because they're going to get upset at you as well. You don't want to complain to your dog. He's going to get upset, bite the mailman, and you're not going to get any more mail. What are you going to complain to? Complaining to the Lord is okay. He wants you to be honest. He wants us to be honest. What's really happening and going on. But take note, as these chapters are near the latter part of the book of Psalms. Turn back to 137, if you would, please. Psalm 137. I'm going to share with you something I learned when I was in Bible college. It took me a whole semester to learn this, an entire semester. And here's what I'm going to tell you that I learned for a whole semester. As you look at Psalm 137, note that before Psalm 137 is Psalm 136. That's it. That's it. But read Psalm 136. Look at it. See what it says. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. And it goes on and on and on and on for 26 verses. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. So when you get down and out and you're thinking that nothing is going well in my life, when you think all is against you, when it's tough to honor God and praise him, think on these things. Think of the fact that you can honor him. And you have a reason to give thanks because his mercy endureth forever. When you're in a foreign land, you have a reason to give thanks because his mercy endureth forever. When you're on the banks of Babylon crying out, you have reason to give thanks because his mercy endureth forever. When the harps that you usually sing with are hung on willow trees, give thanks because his mercy endureth forever. When the enemy is mocking you, and at your heels, mocking you to sing about your God that he is not there. Give thanks because his mercy endureth forever. Do you get the point by now? When you're at a time in your life when you think all is bleak and you cannot praise God and give him thanks, you can give thanks for one thing forever that you know. His mercy endureth forever. And that forever lasts a long time. Brother Ratledge had no idea, but already in my notes, I had Horatio G. Spafford, who wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul. You may remember the story behind it. His company had burned to the ground in the Great Chicago Fire. And because of that, he was had his children on the way to come be with him in Chicago. On the way there in the North Atlantic, the ship sank. He lost all four of his daughters. When he learned about that, he had the ship's captain, when he got to port in New York, turn it back around. I want to see where my daughters have died. And the ship's captain took him right there. And there in that spot, he said, Mr. Spafford, this is the spot, to the best of our knowledge, where your daughters lost their life. He looked at it. He wept, he cried, he prayed. And then God started giving him these wonderful, wonderful words. Verse 3. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. You have God's mercies that endureth forever in spite of great hurt, pain, and loss. And even when people, well-meaning church people here, want to greet you and wish you well and hope that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and you may not feel like greeting them in return, please understand, you have reason to give thanks because his mercy endureth forever. You're not what you could have been before Christ. You're not going to be held accountable for your sins anymore. They're forgiven. They're forgotten. They're covered under the blood of Jesus Christ, buried in the depths of the sea. And yet, we can praise him and thank him. We have a reason to, because his mercy endureth forever. Every head bowed, every eye closed.